Baruchim Abayim, ladies, we are studying Parashat Bishalach. If you have a Chumash in front of you, I think you would appreciate a little more what I'm going to say today. We do have Chumashim in the lobby for those that want to read inside and see these Pesukim. This is a very special Shabbat. It is called Shabbat Shira, the Shabbat of song, because we read about the Exodus, Yitziat Mitzrayim, and we read about the song that the Jewish people sang collectively by the splitting of the sea. As Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael et Hashira Hazot. And therefore we say Shabbat Shira, the Shabbat of song. I want to read to you today three Pesukim in the Parasha, the three Pesukim that take place right before the splitting of the sea. I will argue today and say that I believe that these are the three most important Pesukim in the Parasha, even though you would have said, what do you mean? As Yashir is the most important. And maybe I will say it's the three most significant Pesukim in the entire Torah. Even though I really shouldn't say that, because every Pesuk is important. And every letter of the Torah is important. If you're missing even one letter of the Torah is Pasul. So it's really difficult to say that this Pasuk is more important than that Pasuk. They're all important. They're all necessary. But I correct myself and say these are the three most significant Pesukim. Open the Chumashim, if you have them. It's Perek Yud Dalet. It's Perek 14. We're in the book of Shemot. Perek 14. And we're going to read three Pesukim. Pasuk Yutet, Pasuk Chaf, and Pasuk Chaf Aleph. 19, 20, and 21. I'm going to explain it to you simply first. We call that the Peshat. First you need to know the surface understanding of what's being said. So let's review. The Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years. All of a sudden God says to Moshe, it's time to leave. Paro gives them permission to go for 3 days. So they traveled for 3 days. Of course they have no intention to come back. But all realizes that they're not coming back. So God hardens his heart. And Paro says, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have left the Jewish people leave. I'm going to chase them and bring them back. He went to his army. And he told his army, we must chase them. This is the same army that told Paro, let them go. The Jewish people have become a trap. As long as they're here, we're getting plagues. Let them go. So Paro had to persuade them. Paro said, listen, I'll make you a deal. We'll go attack, and the spoils will split evenly. So you have a monetary incentive. Like we say in Az Yashir, Amar Oyev, Erdov, Asig, Ahalek Shalal. The enemy said, Paro, Erdof, I will chase them, Asig will reach them, I will take the spoils and split them. So the army said, ah, there's money, let's go get them. So they start to chase the Jewish people. Now, the Jewish people were in the desert. How did they know which way to go? There's no road maps, there's no navigation. How are they supposed to know which... There's no road signs. How are you supposed to know which way? Make a right, make a left, go straight. So the Torah tells us that they had a cloud in front of them. It was not like a cloud that we know in the sky, but a special spiritual cloud. Maybe it's like an angel of God. And this angel of God in the form of a cloud gave them direction. You just follow the cloud. It goes straight, you go straight. It starts to turn a little to the right, you move to the right, and so on and so forth. So they had their their own, we would say, GPS. That was during the day. At night, it's very dark. If you were ever in the desert, there's no lights. There's no surrounding lights even from the city. It's pitch black. What do they do at night for illumination? So God provided a second angel, also in the form of a cloud. It was in front of them, and it served like a fire, but a strong fire that gave them light. And the Torah says that in the morning, the cloud of fire would go down, and the navigation system would go up. And then at night, the navigation would go down, and the cloud of fire would go up. So there was always one cloud, either navigating them or giving them light. On the night that the sea split, which is the seventh day of Pesach, it was actually early in the morning, but I'm talking that night, the Jewish people had their cloud in front of them, the fire cloud that gave them brightness. And here's where we begin the drama of these three Pesukim. The events that took place. And I begin, you could read with me inside. Pasuk Yutet. Vayisa malacha Elohim haholech lefnei mahane Yisrael vayelech me'ahareihem. Now it says, malacha Elohim, this angel of God, this angel is the cloud. Haholech lefnei mahane Yisrael, which usually was traveling in front of the Jewish people, vayelech me'ahareihem, it went behind them. Vayisa amud ha'anam epeneihem vayamod me'ahareihem. So the first thing that happened was the cloud moved positions. Instead of now being in front, it moved behind them. What was the purpose? Usually at night this cloud would just go down. You wouldn't see it. It was night now. So this cloud shouldn't even be there. Instead of going down, it just went from the front to the back. Now who was in the back? The Egyptians. The Egyptians are chasing us. So Rashi comments, I read Rashi, Vayelech me'ahareihem lehavdil ben mahane Mitzrayim uben mahane Yisrael. To separate between the Egyptians and the Jewish people, ulkabel hitzim ubnistaraot shel Mitzrayim. And to receive the weapons and the ammunition that the Egyptians were shooting against Bnei Israel. It seems they were shooting arrows, and they were close enough that those arrows would be able to hit. So Hashem put the cloud behind us, and the cloud was catching all the arrows and all the missiles. This is a miracle, of course. So even though they were shooting, but none of them hit, because the cloud grabbed them. It's like an anti-missile system, or aircraft, where it catches the enemy's weapons and it protects the nation. That's the first pasuk. Now, just keep in mind what Rashi comments, and he says, "Bechol makom hu omer malach Hashem." Whenever God talks about an angel, it always refers to the angels as malach Hashem, yudke vavke. But if you saw this pasuk, it says, Malach Elohim. Now I taught you many times that whenever you see the word Elohim, it's judgment. Now, why would an angel be of judgment? Angel is mercy. So Rashi says, Vekan Malach Elohim, En Elohim bechol makom eladin. Melamed, Shehayu Yisrael netunin bedin, Beota sha'a, Im lehin natzel, Im le'abed, Im Mitzrayim. Could you imagine? Rashi says there was judgment here. Because even at this point, where the Jewish people are almost at Yamsuf, there was still judgment in the heaven and there was angels that were saying, the Jews do not deserve to be saved. They should be killed with the Egyptians. We thought already at this point, it's a foregone conclusion. The Jewish people are leaving. Not so. Even at this late stage of the game, the Torah says there was Elohim, there was Dinim, there was judgment on Bnei Israel. And they were taking a vote. Some angels said, they don't deserve to get saved. Others said, yeah, save them. They'll receive the Torah, they'll be better people. But it wasn't yet concluded. So that's why the Torah uses the Elohim name to say that there was still a judgment. Go to the next pasuk. Vayavo ben mahane Mitzrayim u ben mahane Yisrael. Vayi ha'anan v'achoshech v'yar et ha'layla. V'lo karav zeh zeh kol ha'layla. She explains over here what happened in the second pasuk. That this cloud that moved to the back, not only did it protect them from the missiles, but it also put the Egyptians in total darkness. Because if you don't have this cloud in the back, the Egyptians would benefit from the cloud of light. The cloud of light would give light for the whole desert. So how do you block that? The cloud in the back makes like a curtain. So it separates between the Jewish people and the Egyptians. So we were in total light and they were in total darkness, as we call it, pitch black. Third pasuk. Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam. Now it's close to the morning. It's at dawn. And Moshe gets to the Yamsuf and he lifts his hand. Vayolech Hashem et hayam beruach kadim azah. God brought an easterly wind. The whole night, the easterly wind was blowing and blowing and blowing. And all of a sudden, you saw the dry land appear where there was water. And then the last two words, his history, and the sea split. This is the first time it says it in the Torah. And the sea splits. These are the three pesukim that lead up to this great event. Now, I venture to say that many people don't even know the simple explanation that I just told you. They're not so sure about the details. That there was a cloud in the front and in the back, and there was darkness and there was protection. They just know that the sea split. But now we have a deeper understanding of what these three pesukim are telling us. With your permission today, I'd like to explain to you one of the secrets of our Torah that was revealed to us in this week's Zohar. You see, every week there's a piece from the Zohar that elaborates on the Parashat HaShavua. Most of you don't read it. What do you have to do with Zohar? We're happy if we understand the text. Now we're going to go start reading Zohar Kadosh. So many of you rely on me to bring you from what it says in the Zohar. Although, to be honest, 99% of what's written, I also don't understand it. Thank God, because if I understood it, I wouldn't be teaching you classes. I'd be somewhere in a cave reading all day long. And even the 1%, I don't understand fully. But at least I could, like a parrot, read it and say over what it says. That's as much as I could do. The Zohar HaKadosh says, and it's brought down, if you're interested in seeing it, not in the Zohar, Rabbeinu Bahya, on these Pesukim, talks about it, as well as the Ibn Ezra, on these Pesukim, talks about it, as well as a rabbi called the Hizkuni, on these Pesukim, talks about what I'm going to say. So it's well documented. Something that you don't find in the whole Torah. Each one of these pesukim, pasuk yotet, pasuk chaf aleph, each pasuk has exactly 72 letters. 72, 72, and 72. What is so significant? Even though it's a rare thing, three Pesukim in a row have exactly the same amount of letters. So they explain like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names. We talk about these names a lot. Yudke Vavke, that's the primary name of Hashem Yitbarach, Shtabach Shem Ola'ad. We just mentioned the name Elohim. It's also a name. A few weeks ago, when we talked about Pi, we learned about the Shem of Shin, Dalet, and Yud, which is on the Mezuzot as well. Sometimes we mention the name Kel, Aleph Lamed. There's so many names in the Torah. However, there are certain names that are brought down in the Zohar Kadosh that are three-letter names. Each one of these names has three letters. And there's 72 of these three-letter names. And these, some refer to it as the Shem Ayin Bet. The 72 letter configuration of God's name. That means there's 72 groups where each group has three letters. And each one of these three letters is the name of Hashem. And they call this maybe Shema Meforash. This is the one of the explicit names of Hashem Yitbarach. And the Ramban writes that those who know these names can make the dead people rise from the dead, Tehiyat HaMetim. They're also able to do the opposite, to make the living people become Metim. They're able to build and destroy. These Shemot can be used for many, many, many things. That's why we are not supposed to use these Shemot, nor are we allowed to know how to use them. This is only for the great Tzaddikim. Rabbi Kaduri, Alav HaShalom, the great Mekubal, was an expert on these 72 names, and he knew exactly the function, how to use each name, and how to activate. And he wrote many notes on exactly each one of these holy names and their purpose and how to use it. But of course for us, we don't use these names. Could you imagine if everybody knew how to use these names? This would be a disaster. If somebody would be in the pizza store and the guy in front of him is taking too long, you say, oh, you say one of the Shemot and the guy drops dead. And then he's, okay, I'm next. People would abuse it. Or if you're driving and there's traffic and the car cuts you off, you'd say a Shem, and the guy gets all four flat tires, and then you move around him. People would use this for the wrong things. The person gets into a fight with his friend or the husband. Chas v'shalom, they're throwing names at each other now of Shemot. So you see the chandelier fall and the windows break. So this would be hocus pocus, too much. So we don't use these Shemot. Did you ever see any of these Shemot? Did you ever see any of these three-letter names? Well, you actually did. You actually did. On Sukkot, for example, I don't know if you ladies go to shul on Sukkot, when the men are shaking the lulav, they call them the Hoshanot, after the Amidah. Every day, except Shabbat, they shake the lulavim, and they read special pages called Hoshanot. And over there, one of the words that we say is, Ani Vahu Hoshi'ana. Ani Vahu, Ani is Aleph Nun Yud, and Vahu is Vav Hevav. Those happen to be two of these names. That's what's brought down in the books. So they are used in our prayers, these names. You might not have realized it, but they're sprinkled around. I have a sidur. In your sidurim, you're not going to find it. You buy your sidurim over the counter. This is generic brand you buy. But if you pay a little extra, they give you a prescription sidur. And with the prescription, the sidur has many more advantages, many more features. And one of the features the sidur has is it gives you these names in the tefillah as well when they appear. For example, if you look in the Shema, in the second paragraph of Shema, V'ayayim Shamoa, there are 72 words in V'ayayim Shamoa. And on each word, they write one of these 72 letter names. On V'haya, they write three letters. Im, they write three letters. Shamoa, three letters. So, there are definitely kavanot that people who know have when they pray with these letters. I'm going to show you, only because the rabbis say it, so it's not a secret anymore. They told us how to get these shemot from these three pesukim. The way you do it is, you take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk. And you go in that order. The first, the last, the first. And then you go the second to the last, and then the second and the third pasuk. Let's do it and see if you know what I'm talking about. The first letter of the first pasuk is Vayisa, Zavav. The last letter of the second pasuk is what? Is a He. The second pasuk is a Laila, no? It's a He. Am I right or wrong? Are you not confident? I mean, of course I'm right. And Vayet, the third pasuk is Vav. So the first of these names is Vav, Vav. Okay, you learned something. Just for an experiment, what would the second name be? So the Yud, and then the second to the last letter would be a Lamed, and the second letter of the third pasuk is Yud. So Yud, Lamed, Yud, etc., etc. This is the way we do it. It's not a deep way of configuring it, but that's the way it's done. Now, why? You're going to ask me, why does the second pasuk go backwards? Without going deep, the three pasukim represent Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Because in their zechut, we left Egypt as well. Now, we all know Avraham is Hesed. Avraham represents kindness. So that's why his pasuk we read forward. But Yitzhak is judgment. I always told you, Hesed is on the right side. And the judgment, the deen and the gebura is on the left side. So since the second pasuk is corresponding Yitzhak, we read it from the left. Instead of reading it from the right, we read it backwards. Because that's keneged Yitzhak. Suffice it for that. I just don't want you to think, well, where did they get to read backwards all of a sudden? There's a reason for that as well. Everything is mehuzman. It's not just somebody making this up. And if you do this, you'll come up with 72 different names. Altogether, in these three pesukim, there is 216 letters. 72, 72, 72. It's 216. That's easy. Now, you will ask me, Rabbi, why mention these holy names here? Why are these three pesukim so lucky that we get the biggest revelation? So much kedusha is hinted in these words. That means when you read the words regularly, you're reading about a cloud going from the front, going to the back, and it was light, and it was dark, and Moshe raised his hand. You don't see any of these names. But all of a sudden you start to look at the Torah from a different angle. All of a sudden these holy names are popping out so much, more than any of the pesukim. Why over here did God decide to give us the secret? I'll tell you what I read from Rabbi Yaakov Ades. Hashem Shmerehu V'Hayehu. Hashem Yaakov Ades writes, probably the greatest miracle that we have documented in our Torah is the splitting of the sea. Now, of course, it's not the only miracle. We have a lot of miracles in our Torah. For example, Yehoshua ben Nun once stopped the sun. Could you imagine that? He just told the sun, Shemesh b'Gibeon, Dom, stop. And the sun stopped for 12 hours. He stopped the world for 12 hours. A miracle of miracles. But I still say that Kiryat Yam Suf was the biggest miracle. Because, contrary to what many people believe, they think the splitting of the sea was just the sea split. Because that's what they saw in the movies. Now, the movie is a very inaccurate portrayal of what happened. Because the rabbis tell us the sea split not into two, but into 12. Each tribe got its own lane, got its own alley. Like we say in the Tefillah, Hama'avir banav ben gizrei yamsuf. Gizrei means the lanes. Or we say in the prayers, Legozer yamsuf legzarim, ki le'olam hazdo. It doesn't say split it into two. So that's the first thing. So the Midrash writes there was actually, according to some accounts, 250 miracles that took place at Kiryat Yam Suf. For example, I'm not going to tell you all 250, but just to give you an example. 12 lanes, each lane was marbleized. There was marble on the floor. Beautiful marble. Oh, the Midrash. And each lane had walls separating themselves. Walls made out of water. Beautiful walls, so you could see. Reuven could see Shimon. Shimon could see Levi. They could see each other. They're waving to each other. And on the way, there was beautiful fruit trees. So the kids can have snack. Mommy, I'm hungry. I want an apple. Here's an apple. I want an orange. Here's an orange. They had all food for them on the way. No pregnant woman had a miscarriage. Because it's traumatic. You're running. And no old man was behind, left behind. You're running out of Mitzrayim. The old men, they were able to keep pace. Anyway, the Midrash lists 50 miracles like this. And some say 250. So this was an amazing, amazing event. Kiryat Yam Suf is, we never read any miracle so dramatic and so filled with supernatural events like this. And therefore, in order to make this miracle, Moshe Rabbeinu would need to use all of the Shemot HaKedoshim. He would need to use every name that's available to him in order to make this happen. A smaller miracle, maybe you don't need all these kavanot, but to do such things simultaneously. So when God says to Moshe, take your stick and lift it up, some say that all these holy names were written on the stick. And therefore he would show it to the Yam Suf, and the Yam Suf would see these holy Shemot, and Moshe would have Kavanah, of course, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 things were happening in a rapid way. That's why it's specifically mentioned over here. Now, each pasuk has 72 letters. I told you already, the numerical value of the word chesed. Chesed is chet, is 8, and samech dalet is 64. 64 and 8 is 72. There's 72 letters in each pasuk. Because in each pasuk, there was another kindness that God did for the Jewish people. In the first pasuk, the cloud would move behind to protect them from the missiles. That's a chesed. In the second pasuk, it would hint to us that it was light for the Jewish people and dark for the Egyptians. That's a chesed. 72. And in the third pasuk, the sea actually split. That would be the third chesed. So it's hinting to us, chesed, chesed, chesed. 72. Now, I've told you many times as well that while chesed is on the right side, what's on the left side? Judgment. You know how to say judgment in Hebrew? Din. You know there's another word for this also. Very good. Givura. It's good to know these words. Din is correct. If whoever said din, you're 100% right. But there's another way of saying it is givura. You say chesed, givura. Now remember how I always tell you, it's always good to be on the chesed side, the right side. That's why when we make a beracha, we use our right hand. That's why when we put on our clothes, we put our right shirt, right hand in first. When we bathe the right side, the right hand first. When we go on a boat, we with our right foot first, or a plane, right foot first. When we clap right on left. When we go to sleep, we sleep on our left side. Because we want the left to be on the bottom, we want the right to be on top. There's so many things that we do. We cannot, our shirt is backwards. You see the shirt, the ladies are the opposite. I can't wear not a lady's shirt because I'm a man. But the Hasidim have their shirts the other way. The Hasidim, they make special shirts. So you see my shirt, I'm not a Hasid. So the left goes on the right. But the Hasidim, they make shirts the other way. Okay, Hashem Yisrael. And they put the scarf, they put the right on the left. Everything is always because they want the right. It's chesed. They're careful. When they put on their shoes, they put the right shoe on the left shoe. I don't have to go through it. It's a million things. There's always a precedent to the right. But the left is still there. We cannot deny the left. That's givura. So what do we do to this givura? We must sweeten it. We must take some chesed and sprinkle it onto the givura to make the givura tolerable, or make it good. The mashal that I always gave you and give you till today is chesed is like sugar and givura is like coffee. Black coffee. Black coffee is bitter. Maror zeh. It's hard to drink it. Even though I like black coffee, but some people don't drink black coffee without sugar. So what do you do to make the black coffee sweet? You take the sugar, you put it in there. Oh, now you made the givura chesed. He made what's called mituk. He made it sweet. Moshe Rabbeinu would now be coming out of Egypt. And he saw there was tremendous judgment on the Jewish people. You remember I read you the pasuk? It said, Malacha Elohim. Even at this moment there was judgment. The angels were saying, they don't deserve to go out. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, wow, wow, wow. These judgments are very strong. We need to sweeten the judgment, otherwise we're not going to have a miracle. So he said, these names, these 72 names, each one has three letters. 72, 72, 72. How much is 72, 72, 72? 216. What's the numerical value of the word givura? Givura, I'll do it with you. Gimal bet is 5. Vav is 6. That's 11. Resh he is 205. 205 and 11 is 216. So he said, each pasuk is 72, which is chesed. Altogether, it's 72, 72, 72, which is 216, which is givura. He combined them together, and therefore you had a splitting of the sea. So this was a combination of chesed and givura. 72 in each individual pasuk, but he had to do it 3 times in order to combine the 72 and the givura, the chesed and the givura. By the way, you know what I'm going to tell you now? This I saw also from Abba Adis. He said, you remember when God made the wind? It says, Vayodech Hashem et hayam beruach kadim. He brought an easterly wind. That's how he split the sea, beruach, with a wind. But what's the depth of beruach? We know he didn't split it with a wind. The wind was just to fake the Egyptians. But he didn't split it with a wind. God doesn't need a wind to split the sea. So Rav Adi says, beruach is numerically equals 216. Then how did God split the sea? Beruach. With these 216 letters. Bet is 2. Resh is 200. That's 202. Vav is 6. That's 208. And Chet is 8. 216. Vayolech Hashem et Hayam. How did he split the sea? Beruach. Using these 216 Shemot. Now, you will say to yourself, do we ever see this concept of the 72 of Chesed and the Gevurah combining like we see in this Pesukim? Do we have it in our prayers? I'll show you in our prayers. Very important that you know this. And I'm cutting my words short because on this we could talk for 100 hours. I'm just giving you the highlights. There's a prayer that the men say every day. Ladies, you'll know it from Yom Kippur. We say it on Kippur 26 times. Vayahavor Adonai al pana vayikra Adonai Adonai ed lachom v'anun erech hafayim v'chesed v'emet. We say this 13 attributes of mercy. And the rabbis say, whoever says these 13 attributes with kavanah, God forgives them from all his sins. And if there's a decree, God forbid, the decree goes away. It's a tremendous item to say. The men say it every morning in Shacharit, every afternoon in Mincha. On Mondays and Thursdays, we say it an additional 3 times in the prayers. It's a central part of the tefillah, this Vayavor. It breaks the judgments. You know what the Ben Ari writes? If you take the word Vayavor, the middle letters of Vayavor is Vav Yud, Ayin Bet Resh. You see, it has Ayin Bet. Ayin Bet is 72. And what's the letters that remain? Vav Yud Resh. Vav Yud Resh is 216. When you say the Vayavor, you're combining the Chesed and the Gevurah, and you sweeten the judgments. And that's why on Kippur we say, Bedir Vayavor, Bedir Vayavor. Do it for the Vayavor. Do it for the Yavor, God. Give us good year, good Hasadim, because of the Vayavor. And then when we say it, we actually make this combination, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did over here in these 3 Pesukim. When we came out of Egypt, it says in the Hallel that we say, Hayam Ra'aba Yanos. It says, Hayam, Yam is the Yam, the water. Hayam Ra'a, it saw. Maybe it saw the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayanos in it. It ran, it split. You know what the Tzadikim say? Hayam Ra'aba Yanos. You're not going to like it, but don't use the hair of Hayam. Because the hair is not from the word. The word is Yam. Hair is just a preface letter. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. The Yud of Yam. The Resh of Ra'a. Vayanos. The Vav of Vayanos. Is again 216. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. What did it see? It saw the 216 letters of this Shem Kadosh. Vayanos. Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. Also, I came to tell you today an important kavanah that you can have in the Amidah. One of the most important berachot in the Amidah is the 8th beracha. The beracha of Refa'enu. The beracha of healing. You see, all the berachot are important. But when it comes to the Berachah Refa'enu, everybody's related to this Berachah. because unfortunately everybody knows somebody that's sick and needs refuah. Even if we read all the other berachot quickly, when it comes to refa'enu, we slow down and we start to think of different names of people, men, women, children, bar minan, of all ages. I'm sorry to tell you that the Tehillim list is very long. Therefore, this beracha, when we say Rofeh, Chole, Amo Yisrael, we say it with Kavanah, and we believe Borei Olam is the best doctor. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to be Rofeh, any sick person, no matter what the doctors say. The doctors are not prophets, nor are they God. They're human beings also. Guess what? I don't wish any doctor any bad, but doctors also get sick. How could that be? He's a doctor. Because he's not God. So, we pray with great faith. Rufi Olam Mo Yisrael. Borei Olam, you're the Rufi. Rabbeinu Ari writes, in this beracha, if we had to summarize it in one word, what are we asking God in this one beracha? In one word, the summary, the Rabbeinu Ari says, he's asking God one thing, terachem. Terachem means have mercy. Now, of course, that's a short summary of a lot of words, but that's what it is. Borei Olam, this one is in pain. This one is going through difficulties. This one has hardship in the sickness. Terachem, have mercy. And if God has mercy, finish, then you have nothing to worry about. God's mercy is limitless. So they say like this, this I saw brought down from the chief rabbi, Rabbi Amar. Shem Yishmeneu v'chayehu. The current chief rabbi of Israel. He says like this, where does the sickness come from, God forbid? If I were to ask you, does it come from the Chesed or does it come from the Gevurah? Hadush. It goes from the Gevurah. It comes from the left side, from the judgments. So we need to get rid of these. So listen how the eighth beracha starts. Refa'enu Hashem v'nerafeh. The first letter, Refa'enu, is Resh. Hashem is Yud. V'nerafeh is Vav. Resh Yud Vav, 216. Because that's where the sickness comes from the Gevurah, from the judgments. Don't get confused what I'm going to say now. I'm just going to read you the next letters of the Beracha. Hoshi'enu v'nevashe'a. Ki tehillatenu ata. Save us because you're the one that we praise and the one that we rely on. Now, if you have a paper in front of you, you just have to know these five letters. Hoshi'enu v'nevashe'a. Is hevav. Ki tehillatenu ata. Ki is kav. Tehillatenu is taf. Ata is aleph. If you take those letters, those five letters, what do they equal? I'm going to figure it out myself because I'm not too sure. Hoshi'enu nevashe'a. Here, Vav is 11. Ki is 20. 20, 11 is 31. Tehillatenu is Taf. That's 400, 431. Ata is 1, 432. You know what 432 is? 216 twice. Oh, so in the first eight words of the Beracha, Refa'enu Hashem in the Nefer, 216. Hoshi'enu v'nevashe'a ki tehillatenu ata, 432. That means you have 216 three times. Which equals altogether 648. 432 and 216 is 648. The exact numerical value of the word terachem. Taf resh het mem. That means the kavanot in these berachot. We're worried that the judgments are, we want to bring the rahamim. So we need to mention these letters. Now you have the 648, which is the three gevurot, but We said it 3 times. Now we turn the Givurot into Terachim. Once it's Terachim, why do I tell you these things? Because I want you to be amazed. Wow! How deep is the Sidur? We're saying the Berachav Refa'enu for 100 years. I know none of you 100 years, I mean altogether. But the point is, we're saying these Berachot so often, who knew? That has to do with these kavanot, and these are kavanot that you can have. You don't have to be wearing a white robe in Sfat to have this kavanah. You could do this yourself. And every extra kavanah that you have in the Amidah is very, very valuable. And that's the kavanah nefa'enu. And that's the kavanah of Moshe Rabbeinu in these 3 pisukim, of 72 and 72 and 72, which is 216, in order to make the mituk, the sweetening. You know what else I get from this shi'ur? First of all, somebody now, when you walk out, they'll ask you, what's the most important pesukim in the parasha? You'll tell them this one, Vayisa, Vayavo, Vayet. What are you talking about? What are those pesukim? Nothing, those pesukim. You don't know anything. You're getting excited from the Az Yashir. This is all the names of God. This is Tehiyat HaMetim. You can do all the miracles from these 3 pesukim. There are people that spend their whole lives just learning these 3 pesukim. Because all the secrets of the holy names are found in this. But you know what I get from this shi'ur? Because anyway, Rabbi, you said I can't use the names. So that's out. So I can't use this, the ma'aseh. What I gain is, it just confirms to me that this Torah is not man-made. Could it be a coincidence 3 pisukim in a row have 72 letters? And from these 72 letters, we're able to make all different configurations that are used throughout our religion. Is it coincidental that 3 times 72 is 216, and 72 is Chesed, and 216 is Givurah, how it works perfectly, and how we find it exactly where it's needed, in Refa'enu, which is the Gematria of Tenachem? Could this be synthetic? Could this religion be made in China, or somewhere in a factory? It's impossible. To me, when I read these Dirashot, when I walk out of the Shi'ur, all I'm reminded to me is that this Torah is min Hashemayim, that only a God in heaven who is omnipotent, who is so beyond us, is able to figure out or document for us. And trust me, we didn't do anything. You say, oh, look how deep we went into that. We did nothing. This is not nursery, not pre-nursery. This is for when the baby's still in the womb. This is pre-birth, what we did here today. We didn't even scratch the surface of the levels of depth that are hinted in the 3 pesukim before Yisiyat Mitzrayim. But you know what I learned from this? Now I understand the beracha that we say every morning, the blessing on the Torah. Every morning, ladies, you have to do this as well. There's a blessing that you have to make on the Torah. You're learning. Berkat Torah. I know you say it. Just like you make Shakun Yamid Baro, you have to make Berkat Torah. You cannot benefit from this world unless you make a Beracha. So you have to make a blessing on the Torah. You know what it says in this blessing? V'niyah Anachnu V'se'esa'enu V'se'esa'enu, our children. V'se'esa'esa'enu, and our grandchildren. V'se'esa'enu Kol HaMekabit Yisrael, and all of the children of Am Yisrael. Kulanu Yod'ei Shemecha V'domdei Toratcha Lishma. We should all know your names. Yod'ei Shemecha. We should know your name and learn Torah. Know your name? What do you mean know your name? Kulanu Yod'ei Shemecha? It should say, Kulanu Domdei Toratecha. What is Kulanu Yod'ei Shemecha? What we're saying is that our grandchildren and great-grandchildren not only should study Torah, but in the Torah itself, they should be able to see the Shemot. They should be able to learn the Torah on such a deep level where they don't only see the Pshat, they don't only see the words, but Kulanu Yod'ei Shemecha, that they be able to start making these configurations, the first letter, the last letter, and then once they're able to look at the Torah with this light, then already that means they're studying the Torah in depth. We don't want them to read the Torah like a storybook, superficially. But I mean, not like they're reading a newspaper. We want them to read it with all the kavanot. Kulanu yorei shemecha velomdei Torahtecha lishma. Yiratzon. And the zechut that we're coming to these pesukim. Ladies, come to shul early. You hear the Hazan read it, these pesukim from the Torah, and all of a sudden you're going to have a smile on your face because you're going to know the secrets that are behind these three pesukim. That's why the Shabbat is a great Shabbat. This is a Shabbat where these Shemot come out into the world again when we read it from the Sefer Torah, and therefore it's a great Shabbat where there can be tremendous salvations this Shabbat. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu used these Shemot to make the greatest miracles, we say the same. Ki mesetecha me'eres Mitzrayim, ar'enu nifna'ot, amen ve'amen.